You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Hey, she's big. Oh. All right, hello and welcome to Podcast 8. This is week 28 of the year. This year is flying by. Just when you think it just started, it's all. I'm barely getting used to writing down 2018 on things, and soon it's going to change and I'll get it wrong again. This podcast is the JRE review, the Joe Rogan Experience review of the week. What I do here, and oftentimes with a guest, is I continue the conversation of the Joe Rogan Experience. So we listen to the podcast for the week and then just kind of break them down, things that were interesting, things that I like talking about that other people do, and we get into it with other fans and other listeners, or just really anyone who wants to come on my podcast and talk about this stuff. I'm joined today by my good buddy Eddie, who's been on before.
Hi guys, how you doing? Thank you so much for having me, Adam.
Thanks for coming, Ed.
Thanks
for coming. And we're here in sunny Santa Monica, sweating our balls off in the heat. I was going to have some fans on because I just do not do well with the heat, but it's too noisy and it makes all of the podcasts sound shitty. So for the sake of quality, I will be sweating profusely throughout this whole thing. You're welcome. You're welcome. And you... also welcome, Eddie.
Thank you.
You're sweating a bit too. Oh, it's fucking hot. What is the temperature? Alexa, what's the temperature?
Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Oh, bullshit. Oh, 75. Alexa doesn't know anything,
that
everybody.
That is not true. Yeah. At least 12 more degrees.
This podcast will now never be sponsored by Amazon. Ever. All right, so Joe had on this week. Actually, what I did is I kind of split the week up. So last week, Joe had on Theo Vaughn, the end of last week, and I did up to that. Theo Vaughn, if you're a Joe Rogan listener, you know that he's a stand-up comedian, very funny dude, super nice guy. I've spoke to him a few times at the Comedy Store, and he really is one of the most approachable, nicest, friendliest, and coolest guys, and very funny. You know, you meet those kind of like odd characters sometimes that say funny things, and they do it kind of all the time. They can always find the absurdity in anything, and Theo is definitely one of those guys. He is terrific at just observing a very normal event and coming out with something really bizarre. And I love talking to this guy. He's fantastic.
That's the best to listen to. I love
Yeah. Because we all get too serious, man. Yeah. We all get too serious.
And it's so creative, too. You're kind of, you're thinking this, and you're like, ooh, I never thought of that. And get a little chuckle out of it.
Yeah. Well, he's trained to do it. You know, he's, this is what he does for a living. So he's constantly trying to, like, extract the comedy out of everything, which takes a lot of practice. It's kind of exhausting. But once you get in that gear, it must be really entertaining, even a little bit kind of crazy at the same time. But maybe that's what makes you a good comedian.
I'm sure you could have come up with something pretty good if you got some of that vanilla latte that you just had at the coffee bean.
Yeah, guys. I just met Eddie down and got a coffee, and I ordered one, and it was literally the worst coffee I've ever had in my life. I can't even describe why it's so bad. It's like it's 90% vanilla syrup or something. I don't know. I'm going to have to...
Maybe she was trigger happy on
that. Yeah, she got excited. I shouldn't have said the word tomato to her so many times. So with Theo, he started the podcast just by getting into movies, actually. Like movies that he loved, movies from the past. One of the really good ones was Mars Attacks. You remember that movie?
That's many years ago.
Many years ago. But it's a fucking hilarious movie. So it's kind of like a 1950s spoof, right? So it's like those cheesy alien invasion movies from the 1950s where the aliens have the big heads and the glass things and the little laser zappy guns.
And you have like that hot model come out.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And the aliens are like...
And Jack Nicholson in it plays the president, but he also plays like another role, and it's clearly him as well, which I think is also a play on like 50s movies, because maybe sometimes they would put like the main bad guy would also be the good guy as an actor,
just
or like
up,
just
had,
yeah, just
had
in
a
like
a, or
yeah, exactly.
A kooky eye
they give him a different hat, and that's it. His accent doesn't change at
low,
all.
Low budget. Like, hold on a second. The other actor didn't show up.
Yeah.
You're this guy.
But I love those. I love that, like, retro feel of, like, when they bring back a movie or they make a new version of it, but it's in like, an older feel, like Stranger Things.
Right, the TV show, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's great because we all love it because it's, like, the 80s. It's like being in the 80s again. It's like I want to watch it and then afterwards go outside, get on my BMX.
Yeah.
And go jump some ramps in the woods
like,
with my friends.
Like, well, yeah, like watching like Goonies or something.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know, that kind of stuff with like the caves and stuff. You're mm-hmm. like, or, yeah, you're like a little kid.
Exactly. And I love that they kind of, when they bring those sorts of things back, and I'm sure that movie did a very similar thing. In the sense of like, I mean, even you take Guardians of the Galaxy has done that too.
Oh, yeah.
Because didn't they... They like kidnapped the main guy, the aliens did, like in the 80s, so that he's kind of stuck in the 80s, even though he's in the future in space. Because he has his little like tape recorder,
yeah,
and he plays that, and it's like some 80s soundtrack that he listens to. And
yeah, there's you have to go back, even like with Spaceballs, when the Mel Brooks was good, and you had remember that?
Oh, yeah, Spaceballs is fucking hilarious. Use
the Schwartz.
Oh, use the Schwartz. That movie was
Rick
is
Moranis
fantastic.
Is the little tiny...
Remember when those... those guys, they're like, we need to comb the desert. And they're out there with giant combs.
Uh-huh.
And he gets to the last guy. He's just one black dude with an afro comb. They're like, you find anything? He goes, we ain't found shit. It's just great. It was so many bits like that.
But watching
that
as a little kid, you're like... Is that supposed to be funny? Oh, that's good. You know, have you ever seen History of the World Part 1?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That still makes me laugh so hard.
That's great.
Because
it's a bit dated now. It's like, if you get younger people to watch it, it's harder for them to get it, you know? Yeah. But for us, it's...
But the days of Rome, this and that, they have everything going on with Caesar, and then you do have the one guy with the afro, but he has a jukebox playing Funky Town, just walking past, and you're like... Where did that come from?
What?
You're like Funky
yeah.
Town?
Mel Brooks is like on the edge of ridiculousness for sure.
Yeah.
But ridiculousness exists. I mean, look at Guardians of the Galaxy. Isn't there a raccoon in that?
There is, yeah.
Like, that has a voice. And it's the guy from At the Hangover, the good-looking one.
Oh.
What's his name?
He's been on everything. I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, he's in tons of stuff. But anyway, he does the voice for it. So he doesn't even get to be in it. He just does the voice.
Oh,
and
that's so funny.
You know, talking about raccoons, they're fucking everywhere, man. I saw one of them the other day just coming down ocean. One just ran, just jumped straight into the track, like into the sewer bit. You know when it opens up next to the pavement?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, and Joe and Theo were talking about the same thing. They were talking about how these fucking things are everywhere. And you don't think about it because, one, you almost never see them. But, you know, but two, you should because they're big. They're like the size of a dog. And they can go into your trash. I mean, they can go everywhere. They can climb on your roof. Why is this not a bigger problem?
Or actually go into where people have for their dogs and just crawl in the little doggy door.
Do they go in there?
They have.
Jesus
you
Christ.
You want to hear some pretty wild. So we're down at the beach. It was at night. Everyone's having beers down at Dean's. And with Mary, we were like, it was like a foggy day that night. And it was like, there was two coyotes walking the boardwalk, and it was like,
get out of
it was
here.
Like 11 at night, and we're like, did I just see that? And it was like, can you imagine, you're just, if you've been drinking, if you're walking with a little kid and there's two coyotes coming at you on the beach.
Are you sure they were coyotes?
They were coyotes, yeah, because they, I guess they've done it before.
Oh,
that
wow.
We were told, yeah, this happens sometimes where they venture, you know, from Malibu, where they come, they get lost, whatever, next thing you know, they're looking for food.
They're scary looking.
Yeah.
They look like really nasty German shepherds, don't they?
Can you imagine, or you're just like, you're sitting down and I had too much and all of a sudden there's two coyotes.
But it's what we don't think about. They are everywhere. They really are. I mean, another thing, like, for example, in the past, you know, the Roman times, right? They were talking, and Joe and Theo were talking about, like, the gladiator tournaments, right? So where... when we think of these things, like even a coyote, you're like, oh, I could just kick a coyote in the head. No, they probably fuck you up. Like big dogs will fuck you up. Almost everything will, right? But then back in those days, they would put people up against lions. Like they give them a sword and a shield and you go against the 500-pound cat. And it's like, clearly you're going to get fucked up. Like how many people with swords and shields do you think it would take to kill one lion?
That's a great, that's more than 10, topic.
I would say.
He's going to keep on coming at you.
Dude, it's
gonna
we don't.
It's going to be a flesh wound every time you get him a little bit. And it's
dude,
like,
they move so fast. You wouldn't even get him, probably. Have you ever seen him swipe when they're like, whoa?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like faster than a boxer.
It's like a Bruce Lee. They have that reach, too.
Yeah.
It's just fucked. Kind of like, ooh, did I just get.
But that's the thing. We're so removed from these things that we don't even know really what they are. Imagine a raccoon, right? It's just a raccoon, but it's in this room and it's pissed and it can't get out. What the fuck are you gonna do? Nothing.
Yeah.
At best, you'll throw a blanket over it and you'll maybe kick it or run away, or you're not gonna jump on it. That thing will tear through that blanket.
But the thing is, once you kick him, you're gonna make, in the hot weather, he would lose his mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's gotta find his way out of here. So it's like you open your door and you're like, actually, it's this way, buddy. I mean, when you do put little cheese.
Yeah. They're just going to attack you. Well, the biggest thing, and it's something that I've talked about on this before, and Joe talks about all the time, is a bear attack that some of his professional hunter buddies had to deal with, right? So he has a buddy called Steve Ranello, who Steve Ranello is a world-class hunter. Has a hunting show called Meat Eater, and I think Apex Warrior, like on Discovery or the fucking Hunting Channel or whatever. Great, though. It's really interesting. He knows his stuff. He went with a bunch of other world-class hunters, right? So there's like, I think there's like 8 of them in camp. Everyone has their macho story of like what they do, right? Like, oh, if I'm on a plane and some terrorists are there, this is what I do. If I'm in a mall and there's a shooter, this is what I do. Like every man just has this like, why every guy thinks he knows how to fight when he doesn't. We have to have it in our mind, otherwise our ego collapses. If we just walked around all day realizing how much of a bitch we really are,
we
would have no confidence. It would suck. We'd be like, oh, I'm scared of fucking everything. So... You know, but these world-class hunters, you kind of think, well, they're allowed to have their theory of, like, what to do if a bear attacks. Like, they know, and they'll be able to kill it, and of course, they're the best. Dude, they kill an elk. It's, like, hanging from a tree or whatever they do with it. While they were gone, I guess a bear came and claimed the elk, but, like, fucked off again to take a shit or whatever bears do, do his emails. And he comes back while they're in camp, charges through the camp.
Oh.
He ran, these things can move so fast, but luckily there were so many of them that it didn't know which way to go. It didn't know who to chase because it was like 8 people, so it got confused. If there was just like 1 or 2, it would have just
done,
eaten both. Dude, it ran through, knocking them over, snapping in their faces, ended up running down a hill with one of these guys on his back because it just like, you know, he got hit by it.
Yeah.
No one got a shot off. No one got to their guns. One dude hit it with a ski pole. And it fucked off. And they were all just left there like, oh my God. Let's not forget.
Wow. And those are hunters.
Yeah, people are just always like, save the bears. And I'm like, you wouldn't be saving shit if they were in your neighborhood. If they were near your kids. If you saw one of them flip over a car, you'd be like, these things gotta go. These things gotta go because we are not strong enough to deal with this shit.
You're like a hippie with, you know, some of the people smoking whatever. You're like, hey, good. Hey, I got a Subway sandwich. I got, you know, this now you're eating it. And you just turn to your left, you feel something. It's like this grizzly bear just looking at you. I mean, you're done. You're done.
Bite your fucking head off. They wouldn't even give a shit.
Hey, man, relax.
We are so stupid in, like, physical capacity next to a bear. It's something else. And I'm not saying they're not amazing and we should take care of them. I think that they should have lots of habitat. Just nowhere near anywhere I go. Ever. Thank you. Maybe the zoo. That's it.
It's kind of like dropping a tiger off in the city and just seeing how everyone... I mean, right? Dropping them, just letting them loose out of downtown.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean,
LA.
It's not good. It can't be where we are. There's a reason we don't allow those things to happen. We're scared of them.
If that happens,
because they fucking kill us.
And all the different people, like on their phones, doing this, and all of a sudden, there's just a tiger sitting right there. You know, everyone's so like
Yeah, they probably wouldn't even notice. They carry on sending fucking food until that thing
or doing bit a quick, their head off. Doing selfies with the tiger as he's like.
Hey, have you ever thought of doing a 23andMe DNA test? You know, you've heard of these?
Is that where I find out what my ancestors are?
Mm-hmm.
I thought about it.
What is your background?
Well,
Gypsy?
Well, I'm actually mostly Gypsy, but mostly Polish. Actually, my it'd be interesting because...
Oh, so I spot on then.
Yeah. I'm a Polish Gypsy. Can you tell my...
So you're Polish, and on what side? Mother, father?
Well, kind of, I guess both sides. See, my grandfather, with my name, I'm a third, Edward Charles Vincent III, but my grandfather came from Ellis Island as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, from Poland during everything going on right over there. And so actually, when he came as an orphan, like the nuns gave him that name. So technically, my name isn't even real.
Oh, shit.
So it'd be interesting. At the same time, I think a little...
Well, not ancestry tree. It doesn't give you your, like, name.
Yeah.
23andMe is DNA. It just shows, like, what parts of whatever you are. Like, you could be, like, partially Neanderthal, and it would show that.
I would see that. I could see that happening.
It's, like, percentages of whatever. It's funny because when Theo Vaughn was on the podcast, he was like, I don't care what it says, I just don't want to be French. And I thought that was great.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah, that's just like so original, like what of all the things. Like, I don't even think it says, French. It would just say like Northern European or whatever.
Well, it'd be funny too if like, one of like certain like that, maybe you tease all the time and that kind of stuff. And they're like, hey, it came back. You're da 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 da.
Yeah, like, you're this.
Well, there goes my routine.
Well, what happens if it came back with a big question mark and it's like, you're part alien? You're like, wait, what? They're like, we need to take you away. Something is, they're like coming for you. You're like, I should have never done that. I just don't know what people are getting out of it. Apart from like just a tiny bit of curiosity, what is it doing?
You know what? I mean, I guess I'm okay with not knowing. I guess I have a pretty good idea. You know what I mean? I mean,
it doesn't matter, right? Let's not know that we're aliens. Talking about aliens, best sci-fi movie of all time, Aliens 1. What do you think?
Boys,
sci-fi horror. Is that how you define it? I don't even know how you define that.
Do you remember The Thing? That was pretty scary.
God, that was good.
That scared me as a kid.
Yeah, really good. In the, like, the Arctic, right?
Yeah.
And the alien came, and who was the guy? The main guy. I like that dude.
It's been so... Was it not...
Kurt Russell?
It was, no. Or Jeff Bridges?
Yeah. No, Kurt Russell.
It was scary. I mean, as a kid, I remember seeing that, and it came on when cable started coming on in the early 80s, and actually scared me.
When that guy's chest opened up, and like... But it was up there. The 80s were really good at making horror. I think...
Stuff, yeah.
What was making it good? They were like the special effects when you watch them now are cheesy, but back then it was like really, because it was a lot of like that slow mo, kind of like crab walking alien, like looking like it was. What do they call that? Time lapse camera stuff. It was like models, right? And they'd make a move, and it would be like, and the guts would.
And then also the suspense too. They were written all of a sudden, you know, they had the camera angles over there, the person to hear something. All of a sudden,
a lot of shadows. That's right, because they didn't have the CGI, they didn't have the special effects, so they had to create that tension. I think that's why I liked Aliens 1 so much. Because they never even showed that whole alien to like the end. It was just like the face or an arm or a leg. Predator, they did the Predator bit like that too.
But yeah,
they
really set those up well. The suspense, when you kind of see it, when you're just like, and usually, so I'm sure that when they did it, they made it so that alien was, hey, this is, it's time to shine. Let's doll it up like the best we can.
Yeah.
And then so when you do see it, it's like, ooh, you know what I mean? It's kind of like.
But by the second aliens, they'd shown it.
Yeah.
So they were just throwing those aliens at it left and right, you know? Those Marines killed like 1,000 aliens. Yet in the first one, you couldn't even kill one because they were so smart. It lost a bit, I think, the second one. It was like so much of that suspense was gone in a way. The fight at the end was good, though.
Even with my sister was into like horror films, but I wasn't. It was just the suspense and like the original, like Friday the 13th, and like Halloween.
Those were good.
Like
those, man.
The suspense kind of came up. We were even like you're checking a room, whether it's an alien or it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You're like, is it? Oh, it's not there. And then all of a sudden, you can see a shadow. Right? You just see a foot or whatever, and you're like, turn around.
Do you still get that now? Will you watch a horror movie now and then at the end of it you just like pause for a second and you're like, I'm just gonna turn a few lights on here. Like something weird happens.
I really don't like the horror movies. I even remember seeing we were told not to watch, but my cousin and I watched when we saw The Exorcist, you know, and that was, that seemed so real too, you know, at the time. But, or even like, what was it, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, that kind of stuff is just, because some of this stuff can be so real too, where it's like the way they shot it, I don't know if it was just low budget or whatever, but.
What wasn't Texas Chainsaw, that wasn't based on anything real, right?
Actually, I believe it was.
It was?
I believe it was, yeah. It,
so somebody wore someone's skin as a on their face, mm-hmm. as a mask, and then chopped people up with a chainsaw? It sounds too perfect for a movie for well, that to be real. Well, and the fact that it happened in Texas, too, where you like you just know out there that like there's going to be weird towns because well, it's so yeah. big and vast and isolated.
I don't know what you're thinking about. You know, it's interesting. I was just talking to my uncle the other day where just serial killers, they come from all the Midwest area where I'm from, which is interesting, Chicago, if you think about it.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, I guess, I'm sure back in the day all that weird stuff happened because how would you know, right?
Maybe you're a serial killer.
Maybe my other life. I don't know.
As long as we don't find out during this podcast, I'm cool with that, whatever.
I appreciate
no judgment
that.
Here. All right, next up on Joe for the week was his MMA show, MMA 34. He is flying through these MMA shows. I mean, the speed that Joe Rogan put out podcasts that are like 3 hours each is absolutely phenomenal. Like, he just, it seems effortless, but it can't be. It's so impressive the way he does it. So he has a new line of podcasts that he's doing, and it's an MMA line, so he numbers them differently. Josh Barnett is a UFC fighter, an ex-fighter. He is the youngest ever UFC heavyweight champion, or maybe the youngest champ ever. I think he was 23. He's done it all. The guy's like 40 now. Very smart guy, bit of a philosopher, you know, tough dude, loves muscle cars. And, yeah, again, really great conversation and so cool to, like, hear somebody talk, you know, in that kind of long-form way. You just get to know who they are, right? It's easy to just judge someone and be like, oh, they're a meathead because they're a fighter. And then you learn some, like, clever shit about them and you're like, oh, wow, this guy is really fucking interesting. But, yeah, I mean, the first thing they got into was their love of muscle cars. And really, who doesn't love muscle cars?
Of course.
One of my favorite things about moving to America when I first did is, like, getting the chance to see muscle cars. And I remember when I saw my first Mustang Mach 1, it was like, I think it was like 60s car. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like nothing I'd ever seen. And the fact that like 70s and especially 80s muscle cars are so much worse. You're just like, what happened? What happened to the design? Like, how did they fucking let it fall off like that? Was just everyone doing so much coke in the 80s, they forgot how to design how fucking to design cars?
My buddy has a really cool shop right by the airport. He does all classic cars.
Oh, right, sweet.
Yeah, in fact, I'll take you by there sometime if you want to
for
check
sure,
it out.
For sure, yeah, definitely.
It's right by one of the hangars. But he has all these amazing old muscle cars. And they had, like, Steve McQueen's old car over there.
Nice.
And old Corvettes. And just going there, you just kind of, you look at how it's made, the pure steel. And just, you know what I mean, the engines, and you look at it, it's just, and we could still work on them too, which
yeah.
is nice. You could work on them yourself.
Yeah,
which is even
just beautiful,
you know,
works of art, and it's like, you know, they're that good because modern cars, you know, in a lot of ways, they're like reviving the muscle car era. They're trying to bring back the new cars with that muscle car feel. There was just something amazing about that time. It was like, wow, what is this? And to me, being English, it like encapsulated something truly American, truly unique and American, and it kind of represented, you know, the power, the size,
oh, yeah.
the noise, I mean, it was an animal. It was like, we have the you know, the biggest dogs. You know what I mean?
It's
it
like
was just like, there was something.
Well, you know what I love too? I like watching the older movies like that, when they show the muscle car, and just the way the sound is and the way it's revving and how it takes off, or a car chase.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Steve McQueen
and
Bullet.
And how he's handling it. And you're just like going,
dude,
oh man, you can feel the intensity because
such passion, right?
And they're not even wearing seatbelts.
Uh-huh.
It's just They're just...
Oh, no airbags.
No, there's nothing.
No crumple zones. You're fucking dead.
Exactly.
You only survive that if you're a real man, Eddie.
Exactly.
Real man. You just lock those arms out straight and you say, I can take this tree on.
Yeah. It's like what that old Steve McQueen movie when he's running from the Nazis with a motorcycle. Remember he takes it?
Oh,
he
has to make that jump. Great Escape.
The Great Escape, yeah. Which he actually, he made that himself. He did that jump.
No shit.
Yeah, there was no stuntman. He goes, I'm doing it.
Fuck that.
He cleared that himself,
Oh my God.
Which is...
Yeah, Brad Pitt's not doing that today.
No. Or George Clooney.
No chance. He's getting his nails done while someone flips over there. He's like, I need a fucking manicure in here. Plug my eyebrows, please.
Exactly.
Well, but here's what's beautiful, right? So look at America. And we're talking about a piece of it, something powerful. But the rest of the world is way fucking older when it comes to like its history. And I'm not taking anything away from like Native Americans that lived here. They have a huge history that's massively diverse and extremely interesting and fascinating. But when you look at the crux of like the majorly developed United States as we know it from 1700 to now, it's very new. So it has a short history, but a hugely complex culture in a sense, because when you're looking at something like Europe or England or China or like these cultures have been around for thousands of years.
Like in Jerusalem, all those places.
Yeah, they have to. They develop on top of development. It's like we do this because we're like this. Well, America can redefine it all the time. So they can make like bolder statements that become this is what America is.
Or even just knock something down and go, hey, look, we build it even bigger.
But look at what, look at movies. No other country makes movies like America does. Not even close. We make movies. I'm a citizen, so I say we when I talk about America because I've lived here forever. But it's just that, you know, other countries will even copy the style of movies. Not all of them, but in a lot of ways they will. It's like America has that down. Not only does it have like also the biggest military, and also when you think of like famous musicians, mostly American musicians. It's like, not to say the rest of the world doesn't have music, but it just doesn't transcend the whole planet in the same way. Clothing, Nike, brands of so many things, Apple. Like, it's not just because America has the most money. It's something to do with this modern, young culture that exists that just the rest of the world want a piece of it.
I'll tell you, being from Chicago... When Michael Jordan, I remember that when he was a rookie and Nike gave him his own deal, which was like blew everything out of the water. And like everybody had to have Air Jordans in the 80s, you know, it supersized his contract. He had this going on, but like everybody all over the world all of a sudden had to have Air Jordans.
Yeah, I bought a pair. Yeah. I lived in England. I was 9 years old. I bought a pair for £99. I bought it on a payment plan where I paid £2 a week.
Oh, seriously?
Yep. And they had like, they were badass. They had like this like jigsaw puzzle, different colors underneath on the base. I didn't play basketball. Almost no one I knew played basketball in England. Why the fuck did I want those things? But I did. I remember wanting them so fucking bad. And when I got them, it was one of those where I was like cleaning them every time I scuffed them. They were a prized possession. Like the fact that they even had to go on my feet was a shame. If I could have wore them on my hands to keep them clean, I would have done it.
You know, around the same time too, going back with music, I remember with the Jordans, then you had Michael Jackson with the glove. Like all of a sudden everyone in the world, right? Remember it had young kids had a glove on their one hand.
Uh-huh.
It was like...
Yeah, it's just something magical about those people that needs to be emulated. You're like, I want to be magic too. Maybe if I get their shit and dress like them, I'll be that way.
I can, right? It
makes sense. You kind of emulate a little bit. I mean, it's like copying your dad when you see him do something. You want to be like dad, you know? It's like this only makes sense. And, you know, and I think some of it speaks to the freedom and the fact that we, you know, in the United States, you can do so much. Right? Okay, it leaves you open to like lunatics doing things, but at least we have the freedom to express ourselves however we want. Because, you know, on the Josh Barnett podcast with Joe, they were talking about how a girl in Egypt that was 22 years old made a video about sexual harassment, showing like what it's like and how awful it is in Egypt. She got jailed for 8 years for that. She's 22.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So
wow.
You talk about the opposite of expressions,
yeah.
You know? I mean, it's horrendous. And, you know, Joe even hits on it, right? There is Islamophobia that exists. Course, and any racism or prejudice or hatred is a bad thing. We know this. You can't be selective about it. But we should also remember that some of these extreme Muslim countries are pretty fucked up to women and homosexuals. And, you know, that should be talked about too. You can't just sit there and be like, no, but that's their culture. We got to let them do it. Yeah. She's fucking 22. She made a video. She's trying to express herself. She's a baby trying to figure things out and trying to help other people because maybe no one helped her understand this. Maybe she was sexually assaulted. She has to go to jail for it. Come on, Egypt, get it together.
Can you imagine Madonna, the Like a Virgin tour in the 80s, and then her doing, I'm just saying Egypt today, and doing that? I mean, she'd be banned for life.
Yeah, it'd be nonsense. Well, chances are it would probably be like Egyptian officials would actually be big Madonna fans and just let her come anyway. It's like, it seems so fucking selective, you know? It's like the countries that ban, like Saudi is like a dry country, it's banned alcohol. Yet The Rock went there, was hanging out with like one of the Saudi kings or a prince or something, and tweeted, "Hey, thanks a lot, next time I'll bring the tequila," but then quickly had to like take that off his Twitter because probably someone in the king's fucking kingdom was like, "Hey, you're not supposed to be drinking when you're in the kingdom with us." Like, but of course they're in there partying it up, they're fucking king, so they can do what they want, but the people can't. It's
which is interesting too. I didn't realize like a lot of like, I think Prince did it, you know, people will get like major celebrities or Jennifer Lopez will get a couple million to play for like an hour for these people. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, dude. They're the
rich. And you're like,
they're the richest fucking people in the world.
I had no idea, really?
Dude, they do, because they're the king, like the king of Saudi owns the whole country.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to have like his taxes evaluate, like no one knows how much money he has.
Yeah.
They don't know. It could be trillions. They're probably the richest people that ever lived.
Like, how much gold do you have in there? Like,
dude, why do you think we're so fucking nice to them? Yeah, America seems to hate Muslims, or at least the president, but yet somehow they're like our number one ally in Saudi. Yeah, money talks. When you got a fucking solid gold jet, we're like, oh, this motherfucker knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking interesting stuff. Next, on their podcast, they were talking about, of course they were talking about fighting, it's an MMA one, we got to talk about that a little bit, but they were talking about like the testing, and steroid testing, steroid use, right? So we're watching the World Cup right now,
mm-hmm.
It's in Russia, we assume those motherfuckers are
jacked up,
but you know, it's like obviously it doesn't help with soccer because you got kicked out, so that's how that works.
True.
But you know, with these fighters today, they're testing them all the time. All the time, Eddie.
Is that so, just in the States, right?
Well, it's for different fighting organizations. So the UFC has a company called USADA. I think they're not in a government agency, but they kind of just regulate drug testing. But they get these guys whenever they want. All the time. They can get you, wake you up in the middle of the night to, you know, piss in a thing. They can just check you constantly. And what they were getting into is like, is this a bit of an invasion of privacy? We're talking about freedoms here anyway, right?
Right.
But now this is your job. At what point is it invasive? Is it really helping, or is it like, you know? I mean, the idea is that they're doing the testing so much that there's no way you could figure out how to cheat around it, right? But imagine if they said, okay, every morning at 10 o'clock, we check your pee, that's it. At least you know. But then you figure out at 10:15, right after you pee, you can load yourself up with some roids.
Yeah.
And then somehow it's gone by the next day. Well, you've already cheated the system. So they try and take that out of there. But at the same time, it's not really, you know, these fighters have to constantly say where they are, constantly say where they're going.
Yeah, that is pretty invasive. And there's a little anxiety, too. You still want to continue your own life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Maybe you have a family. Maybe you want to do this and that.
Well, that's a great point. Some of them act. Imagine if you had an audition, and they're like, but now you got to do this pee test at this time. And you're like, I got an audition.
I can't just imagine. I'm on set, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this is real. And it's pretty brutal. It's pretty brutal for them to have to go through. And
then they're still dealing with injuries as well, the tears and this and that.
Dude.
So it's like, you can only take so much, and then you got to keep on doing that.
Well, they should really be allowed to take that stuff when they're injured. I think that's when you should be allowed to.
Yeah, because you're going to heal yourself at least quicker,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly, right? And maybe you'll heal yourself in a way you couldn't have before. Maybe some of the injuries were just too bad, and that's kind of how it goes.
So even like with like the HGH stuff, that's often, you can't do that too? Or?
Well, human growth hormone, I think, is actually quite hard to test for. I don't know if there's a test for it, to be honest. They look at some other key factors that raise because of it.
Uh-huh.
But that one, I think that there's a way to take it in low dose. You just can't like dump testosterone and kind of any anabolic steroids in your system.
Oh, right. As far as
I don't know a lot about it, to be honest. He was just talking about how difficult it is, and Joe was kind of on it. And I was just thinking to myself, wow, if that was in my life, that would be stressful. With everything else that you do, you're already a fighter, you're already training all the time, you know, and now they're constantly trying to get at you. And especially if you're a clean guy that never does anything, you're like, for fuck's sake, man, leave me alone.
You know,
let me get on with it.
I just watched something last night on YouTube, and maybe it's still with wrestling, but it's interesting. It was a girl transitioning to male, but she's been taking steroids the last 2 years in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's been undefeated the last 2 years. And so one of the commentators was raising a thing. How fair is it? I'm just saying, you're actually taking steroids.
So she's a woman fighting women, and she's taking steroids?
To become, yeah.
That seems unfair.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, then everyone can take it, right?
I mean, could you just be a guy and be like, now I feel like a woman, and just go smash all the women?
That's what they were going back and forth
about, right?
But I was just...
Yeah, that does raise an interesting
point. But I'm saying, if you're taking steroids, obviously you're gonna gain muscle, yeah, and you're gonna get that roid rage, you know.
We're trying to figure that out today. I think we're trying, like, with these transitioning people. It's like, hold on, because there was a fighter that did it. There was a man that turned into a woman, didn't tell anyone, and just smashed all these women.
Oh, really?
You fucked up, man. You can't do that shit. That's not cool.
Yeah, no,
that's not cool. Yeah, fuck. Who knows? They'll figure out something with that one day.
Mm-hmm.
Next up on Rogan's podcast was a really cool guest. Someone I didn't know a lot about. His name is Tony Rock. Now, he's a comedian, a very, very funny comedian. I have to look in some of his stuff up, and you can tell right away the way he just throws down his punchlines. Joe loves him. He's also Chris Rock's younger brother. Now, had you heard of Tony Rock, Eddie?
I never have.
Yeah, and it's almost a shame when you see someone of such caliber and obviously related to such a great comedian as Chris, who's one of the best, you know, go unnoticed. It's like, how much good comedy is there out there that we don't even know about? Thank God for things like Netflix, like bringing more of these specials to the forefront so that regular everyday Joes can watch it.
You know what it reminds me of? Charlie Murphy. Do you know Charlie
Murphy? Yeah, yeah,
so
of course.
He went on for years, yet everybody knew him. Even Rick James knew about him, right? Because Chris Chappelle was doing stuff about Charlie Murphy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he put him on, and that's, people are like, he has a brother? This guy's funny. But everyone knew it.
Dude, Charlie Murphy.
Everyone knew it. And then when he died, everyone was like, Charlie Murphy died. It was like,
yeah,
he's been doing this for 30-something years.
He's responsible for maybe two of the funniest comedy skits of all time. Yeah. The Prince one,
uh-huh,
with the pancakes, and of course the Rick James.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that was funny. Holy God, I can watch that anytime, and it just fucking kills me, man.
Oh, he's like, and Rick James shows up, he goes, hey, darkness. And he goes,
darkness.
And he just bitch slaps me across the face, and he's like, I'm going to kick your ass.
he's all, like, what do the five fingers say to the face? Bam!
With all of his rings, goes, I'm Rick James, bitch. And Charlie Murphy's like, his face, he's in the interview, he's like going, man, I don't care who you are, man. And then when he shows up at his, at his place, his new place.
Oh, Charlie, and he's Murphy's, like kicking his muddy shoes on the couch.
And he drops, I don't know, whatever. And he's like, clean it up, bitch. He's like, dude,
too
he
funny.
Just, he, spot,
too,
this whole, he just decked out his new place, and
it's beyond funny.
Up.
What made those skits so good too,
yeah,
is not only Chappelle was perfect for acting in them and being that character, that Charlie Murphy could be in it too and
the
be as good.
Guy, yeah.
But also the way that he would commentate, like, he would kind of, more like narration. He would narrate over it, but like almost like he's like pissed off and
like
serious.
Like he's still pissed
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was like such a nonchalant way. You're like, holy shit, is this story real? Yeah. And I heard Prince talk about it once before he died. He said something on the radio and he was like, yeah, pretty much was true. And he goes, Prince was actually quite funny with it. He goes, yeah, I did. Some of our guys, we did make pancakes for him. And he goes, but it wasn't so much that I'm good at basketball. He's like, it's more that Charlie just sucks. And that was funny. Like, I really liked that. I was like, oh, shit, that's good.
He's like, yeah, he shows up on the court of the place. They're all in heels. He's like, damn, where's your basketball shoes? And he's got heels on.
That's it.
And they show him Duncan.
Oh, dude, that's too funny. Yeah. Well, obviously, they exaggerated some
of course,
shit,
yeah.
It's great. It's great. Hey, let me ask you. You still doing your smoothies?
You know, yeah. In fact, I just went to the store.
Oh, don't let me forget. Blender before
yeah,
you go.
It'll be great.
It's yours.
So I have a question for you. Speaking
What's
about
up?
That. So today I put all my, and the one juicer that I have, right? But I noticed that even putting all the spinach that I did and celery, I just feel like I'm not getting, I'm sure I'm getting the juice, but I feel like the nutrients are being wasted. Maybe it's my juicer.
Oh, so you're juicing, right? So you're taking out the solid material?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, dude, there's not much in there other than cellulose, believe it or not. Yeah. Cellulose is like tree bark.
Okay.
It's undigestible dietary fiber. It doesn't do anything. Mm. It helps you shit. But they don't even know if that's even that useful.
Interesting.
Here's the thing. When you juice, you get all the nutrients in a nutrition blast straight into your system, 100 miles an hour. You know, it's probably more beneficial to make smoothies. And here's why, from what I understand. Now, Dr. Rhonda Patrick is someone that always shows up on Rogan's podcast and is smart as hell. She is a biomedical researcher, so she's always looking at the research. Well, number one, when you're having high-level veggies like that, concentrated veggies, kale and all those things, you want to have fats with it. So you're either adding MCT oil, which is medium-chain triglycerides, or coconut oil, or maybe blend in an avocado, right? When you're doing a juice, though, you don't do that. It's just juice.
Yeah.
So all your digestive system is doing is like trying to absorb water-soluble vitamins, which a lot of them are not water-soluble. A lot of them are fat-soluble. So to be like vitamin B12, there's a lot of nutrition that requires fats and able to absorb it, right? So that being the case, you've got to add those things in. Also, when you're doing a smoothie, you get all that fiber. It's chopped up, so
yeah,
it goes through your system better.
Mm-hmm.
But what that helps with is it slows down the digestive process because now you've got to digest all that fiber. So if you have some sugar in, that's okay. If you make your smoothie a little sweeter because your digest is slower, so you're not spiking your insulin. These things are bad,
yeah,
from what I understand.
Yeah.
But you can also then add some of the fats in. It doesn't taste weird. Mm. So I would say, for the most part, if you can, stick with smoothies for consistency. But if you ever feel under the weather or you want to detox, like you're saying, like you want a couple of days where you really want to ease off yourself, then do your juicing. Because that's when if you don't feel well, you want to blast the nutrition in. But also do a little bit of fat. Even so much as just to melt a little bit of butter and have that with something.
You know, because it's interesting, because I was filming the pilot swipe last week on Friday, but so I did 3 days in a row of juicing, right? And when I showed up on set, it was like, I was like, hey, I'm looking okay. Everyone's like, you look great on camera. I'm like, wow, I felt good. I noticed my skin was shining and I looked healthy.
Yeah, it makes your eyes whiter.
Yeah, so
it's
interesting.
It's good for you.
I'm like, a good little trick to know in the back of your little toolbox. In my mind, 100%. Going, hey, I know I'm filming this day, or I gotta look good. I'm gonna juice for 3 days.
Yeah,
and then I look, you know.
Yeah, that's
like
perfect.
A million
and
bucks.
Then the other days, if you can, to get the nutrition and just do smoothies. It doesn't have to be every day.
Yeah,
but smoothies are good just to keep adding it in. I mean, you know, they were talking about it. So Tony's been doing it. Tony Rock has been doing it. Was talking to Joe about
okay.
it. I mean, you know, a lot of people are doing that. You got to be a bit careful though when you're adding the fats to the smoothies, especially MCT oil. It will make you shit.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So be careful.
But
be careful
a lot of these fighters, these fighters in their diets, I'm sure they go on their little juicing stuff. They have their own little system.
Oh, I'm for sure.
Obviously, they got their protein, but then they have their juicing. I'm sure they do. Yeah. They got
it. Well, it's like everyone, man. I mean, yeah. Look at Tony. He's not a fighter. He's a comedian, and he's doing it. I mean, it's just people want to be healthy these days.
Yeah, they feel much better.
They know we're eating garbage most of the time, and it's like, how does that affect, you know, how we live, how we eat, and just looking at society and culture. Now, I think Tony's from New York, but they were talking about Chicago for a while. Uh-huh. And they were kind of talking about different attitudes of places. You know, like the comedy in New York is a little bit more aggressive. Like, they nag on each other more, give each other shit. But yeah. There's, like, also a good like, stuff. Camaraderie. Whereas is in L.A., there's a little bit difference. But then just look at that culturally. So he was talking about Chicago and how segregated Chicago is, mm-hmm. right? And you're from Chicago.
I'm from the north side, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've lived there. I lived there for many years. I went to Loyola University. I lived downtown. I lived Wrigleyville. Like, you know, I had a good chance to get a real feel for that city. And it's no joke, man. There's a lot of segregation, and that causes problems. And, you know, just while they were talking on the podcast just a few days before their podcast, 28 deaths in one day. That's a lot. Yeah. What were you saying? You were saying something we started.
I was saying that I believe it was July 4th, especially when it's hot out, a lot of shootings rise. So I think there was about maybe 115, maybe 120 shootings, right around there. And I think there was 15 deaths. You know, that doesn't include the stabbings and stuff. But it was just the hot weather, and you have all that stuff going on, and
fucking drives people crazy.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, it's hot now. I'm not saying I want to shoot you, but I've thought about it.
Yeah,
like the heat makes it nasty.
Humidity in Chicago, like in New York, when it goes up, like I think it was like a couple of weeks ago, my family, I think it was like 100, just over 105 degrees in Chicago.
Jesus,
can you imagine in the city? I mean, that would drive anybody nuts. Yeah,
that'd drive you know? Mad. Do you think with all those murders, that makes for a lot of haunted houses?
Oh, of course. In fact, I lived in a haunted house in Chicago. Yeah, I did. In Lincoln Park.
For real?
Yeah. I saw me and my ex-girlfriend and her friend, another friend, literally, it was right in Lincoln Park, right by DePaul University.
Uh-huh.
And we were just all going to school at the time, and they were redoing all these brownstones, so we lived in this one. It kind of the main floor was all untouched and da da da. We had the second and third floor, but he had this weird vibe. It just had a weird vibe going on, and we saw.
Did anyone talk about it being haunted?
Well,
before?
My one buddy was like, "Nah," and then we saw a plate fly off the shelf. I just have the water the thing just go hot out of nowhere or cold. In my room, I always there was a really strange sense of what was going on, but at the same time, you know. Even, you know, it was not too far from where they did Valentine's Day Massacre. You know what I mean? So there was a couple of bars that were haunted.
Would you buy a house that you knew a famous murder happened in?
No, I'm going to pass on that.
Like, actually. if it was, but I'm saying it's a great deal. It's a huge house, tons of bedrooms, amazing, straight up famous murder in that.
Yeah, I'm going to pass.
You're going to pass?
I'm going to pass, yeah. That's kind of like.
See, I don't think I give a shit. I guess I would have to think about, like, when I have kids or a wife and, like, you know, they got to live in it too. But I'm not superstitious like that. I mean, it has to be in your mind, right?
Well, the home.
Hey, great deal's a great deal.
With the Winchester, you know, that was what part of with the Civil War and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That mansion, they've said that's been haunted. Little things that will happen. This and that, and sometimes they say it's a ghost from all the ones that were killed because of the weapons, you know, if you ever seen that. No, but in Chicago, there was a place at El Capone, in Wheeling, where I grew up at, the French place, they said was haunted as well. Do you know what I mean?
French ghosts, the worst.
Yeah. Do they? Yeah, they're like going, "Hey, these no, no."
Hey, come on in and make a crepe for you.
Yeah.
That's more Italian. But I'm not good with accents.
But yeah, no. Between all the mafia stuff in the city in Chicago and all the other stuff, I can see that. I've had another place where there was a ghost, and actually in Santa Monica, weird things were happening, and the woman was like, "Something going on?" She said, "Oh, you know, like nothing ever happened." But, you know, you just make your peace. You say, hey, I ain't going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know I have a lot of experience.
I know it sounds crazy, but
maybe it's true. It's easy to dismiss, right? I didn't see it. you know, people talk about it and they fucking, they're really sure about this. And you can't just dismiss people right away. It's not fair. It's not a good way of communicating. It's, you know, it's kind of like the, like online trolls. You know, if you come out and say something on like, oh, I saw a ghost. Oh, you fucking idiot. You don't, you know, it's like, whoa, 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 Number one, who the shit is like jumping on people's cases about what they think and being that negative? Only losers. Mm-hmm. There's no winner out there. There's no like, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson type character out there that also jumps on Instagram and says, fuck you, you're dumb to people. They don't do it.
They don't have, all right? They don't have time. They're not.
People that talk shit online are fucking losers. There's no other way of looking at it. It's like the same thing when I think about this podcast, for example. Right. And like making it, putting it together. And like if when anyone has said to me, oh, dude, I think that's a dumb idea. Like they were 100% those people. Like even when they've been my friends, I'm like, yeah, but you have a bit of a loser mentality. Like this is why, like you haven't been encouraging. You're not going to be. It's just like, why... Why even jump on people? Like, look, you're an actor, right? So probably plenty of things that you've done or attempted to do where other people have been like, that's not going to work. And we already have the voice inside that says don't do it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's interesting that, you know, I've done hypnosis, clinical hypnosis for over 7-8 years, right? And I've seen 300 clients, been on a TV show with it. But it's amazing how people still, and I almost get tired of the conversation, but a lot of people begin like, does it work? And I'm like, well, coming in for a session. But they're like, oh, well, what am I going to do? I'm like, you're the one who's dragging me down. You're the negativity, which is interesting.
Right.
And then someone,
what are they worried about? Waking up with their pants off? Or
all that stuff.
What do they think is going to happen?
You know, all acting like a chicken, crazy stuff.
Yeah, right.
But it's interesting when people have, like, okay, I'll come in, all right. And I'm like, come in for free, whatever. And then they do it and they go, wow, I feel great. I go, well, what did you expect was going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying the negativity with that.
Sure.
You come in, it's like with any kind of thing, right? Or even like going to see a trainer, like, I don't need to see a trainer. Well, do you know how to properly train?
Whether you're fighting, you know what? You should.
Or whether you're.
You should be suspicious of some things, right? Yeah. Otherwise, we'd all get locked into a fucking pyramid scheme or buying, timeshares. Like, there are some things that are a bad idea.
Of course.
But you shouldn't be negative when someone's trying a new idea. They're trying something new. They want to work through it, even if it fails for them. It's like, give people a chance to do it. You never know, you know? I'm sure even when Joe Rogan started his podcast, people were like, well, that sounds stupid. Why are you even doing it? And now look, it's like the biggest, third biggest downloaded podcast in the world. Nobody's fucking laughing at him now.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And you can only do it by believing in that thing. And just bringing something interesting. And with that note, thank you, Eddie, for joining me today.
Oh, thank you,
man. Man, we went on. That was like almost an hour. Flew by. Love it. Cheers, man.
Pound. Thanks, brother. Thank you for
the
coffee.
And fuck, we made it through the heat. And thanks for listening, guys. We got some more great guests coming up next week. I believe another MMA one as well. And that's it. Stay tuned. And love you guys. Cheers.